described by Rupa Goswami in his verse. These are the kind of fertilizer that we can put in now that we've plowed the field. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, getting all the weeds out. Now we want to put some fertilizer down after we've plowed. So Rupa Goswami, he says that utsaha nishchaya dharayat tat tat karma pavartana sangha tyago sato vritte sabhya bhakti prasidati. The six things that you can do which are very nice fertilizer for your bhakti. And that's why we're here with these things. Not because we want to get some degree for bhakti shastri. You won't remember that thing in the future, but if you get Krishna praying, this thing is a very, very valuable thing. These other things are very, very insignificant. So, we spoke this morning about utsahan, about enthusiasm, about nishchaya, about confidence or firm faith, and how important that is, and about how our mind bewilders us in different times into thinking that things are not good, it's not as it should be. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings in one song, he says, I don't know if I'm doing good, if I'm doing bad. I'm just doing what I've been told to do. So that should be our attitude. We don't know if it's good or if it's bad, because we're not the judge of it. We should just do the best that we can. Because Krishna's Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He's not interested in how much weight you can lift, or how many samosas you can cook in 1 hour, or how many times you do this thing or that thing. But he wants the love and devotion of his devotees. We spoke about Darya, about tolerance and patience, and we spoke about Suparnika and how she had to wait for a long, long time. And we should be at least as patient as Suparnika. She wasn't in such a good mode of nature. I think all of you are in a better mode, I hope so, a better mode of nature than Suparnika was. So we should be patient. If she achieved the Lord, even after so long, we should also be patient. So now we'd like to say something about tat-tat karma pravartanat. Prabhupada says in his purport, page 35, it's written here on the board, one has to become thoroughly callous to non-permanent activities and turn his attention instead to the regulated principles. Does all the Indian devotees know what callous means? Anybody not know? Callous means indifferent. It's also, the word's used also in English in an interesting way. If you have some thing on your foot in some place, you've been walking a lot, and your foot becomes very hard, that's also called a callus. Because you can't feel what you're walking on. So Prabhupada says we should become like that. We have to be thoroughly callous to non-permanent activities. Instead, turn our attention to the regulated principles. Tat tat karma pravartanat. So in his purport on this verse, Śrīla Thakura Bhaktivinoda gives a very long explanation about the 64 principles of bhakti. These are the things that we should do. Okay, I should be enthusiastic. I'll work very hard, but I should be intelligently enthusiastic. What does that mean? Intelligently enthusiastic means I should know what thing I'm going to do. That's tat tat karma pravartanat. If you don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done, then you may make a big mistake. And if you don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done, how can you have nishchaya, how can you have confidence in what you're doing? How is it possible? But if you know this is the right thing, I'm supposed to do this thing, then you can progress very nicely. And you can also have patience. So these things are built on each other. So Rupa Goswami, he's delineated these 64 different principles of bhakti in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he writes there that out of these 64, there are five principal ones, which have also been described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll mostly concern himself with that. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam. Sadhu Sangha Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan. Sadhu Sangha Nam.
Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Basa Srimutir Sharava Seva Mathura Basa Srimutir Shraddhaya Seva.
These are the most essential principles. If we want to advance in bhakti, it's not a sentimental thing. We should behave properly. We need to engage ourselves in the proper activities. It's not just enough to do something or just to have some fanciful idea. I'm dressed myself as a devotee, and now I am a Mahabhagavat. I've been here so long, and I can see Krishna. I can do this, I can do that. Prabhupada said that once there was some conversation Prabhupada was having. He said one Mataji came to him, and she said, "Oh, Swamiji," she said, "once I went into the Jagannath Mandir, and Jagannath, he reached out and he grabbed my sari, and he didn't want to let me go. He was holding on to me." And Srila Prabhupada said, "So what does Krishna want with that fat old lady? What does Krishna care for about her?" That she's simply speculating. So some people want to do like that. The Prabhupada used to chastise the Western devotees because the Western devotees' mentality is you always have to have something new. If you don't have something new, then who's going to really respect me? So I'll grow my hair very long, or I'll wear some far-out jewelry, I'll find some really special, nicely made silver ring with a picture of the deity on it or something, some nice necklace, pavitropana, this kind of cloth, or that kind of thing, because I'm a rugged individual, and I want to show everybody how cool I am. That's the idea. In the West, everyone wants to be an individual. And actually, this principle is also respected in Vedic culture, too. We should be individuals. Not that we shouldn't do anukor, we should do anusar. Not that we imitate anukor, but we should follow the essence. Most people, when they first come, they're doing anukor. Because they don't understand. Just like the monkeys. A monkey sees someone put on a hat, so then the monkey also puts on a hat. He does it like that. He sees a sadhu dressed in a certain way or wears something, so he wants to do. He sees someone drink a 7-Up, so he thinks, yes, sadhu's drinking 7-Up, so I'll also drink 7-Up. And that'll be cool. When Prabhupada moves his head like this, so if I also do like that, I walk like him, then people will probably think that I'm a sadhu. As though it's such an easy thing to be a sadhu just by shaking your head in a particular way. So Rupa Goswami understands that propensity in neophyte devotees. So he's telling us, diddy, just chill out. You should tut karma pravartana. There's something you should do. You have some responsibility. You should do what's been given by the previous acharyas. And when we say we should do this, it also implies that we shouldn't do other things. And if we do this thing, then we can really be peaceful. We can be enthusiastic. We can be confident. We can be patient. Because I know this is the right thing to do. I may or may not be realizing this thing, but my Gurudev told me to do this. And I don't care what everyone says. They can all criticize me as much as they'd like. They can send me to hell. But my Gurudev, he told me to do this. Once there's one sadhu, the stories in the Puranas, who told his disciple, "Hey, go collect some firewood." His Gurudev. So he went. If you ever try to collect firewood in Vrindavan, you'll find it's not so easy. So many people are collecting firewood. So it was like that for him. He looked and looked and looked, really very hard, all day in the hot sun, and he couldn't find any firewood. A very distressing situation, his guru told him. So he went back and he said, "Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I looked and looked so long, but I couldn't find anything. I don't know where to look. I'm sorry." His guru became annoyed with him. He thought, "What a fool, what an idiot. You can't find some firewood? Is it so hard to find?" He's saying, "Well, Guru Maharaj, I don't know where to look." "Go to hell and look!" His guru told him like that. He said, "Yes, Gurudev, So he left. And he went to hell. And he's walking around the hell's planets looking for some firewood. Some of the Yamadutas noticed him. And he waited, this guy's not on our list. I don't think he belongs here. We should talk to the foreman. They checked the upper. No, this guy's not supposed to be here. So somebody went to Yamaraj. They said, hey, there's some fellow wandering around here. He really doesn't belong here. So Yamaraj went to him and said, what are you doing here? So I'm sorry, my Gurudev, he told me I should come and collect some firewood. The Yamaraj was very touched by his sincerity. He said, well, we have some fire here. He said, but people bring it with them. There's no trees or anything, not those kind of trees anyway. The trees that grow here, they're very hard. They don't burn very good, and they have very sharp spines, thorns on them. Huh? So he took him by the hand, said, you come back with me. He took him back to his guru, and gave him over to his guru. So tat tat karma pavartana means we should do those activities which our Gurudev has given us to do. Shreyam sadharma viguna paradharma sunustitat. Sadharma nidhanam shreyas paradharma bayavaha. We should do what we're supposed to do. If we've been told to wash dishes, or sell books, or do life membership, or do bhakti shastri, or teach, or write, we should do that thing. And don't be envious of someone else who's doing some other thing. Huh? I'm making books. Nobody gives respect to people who make books. You know? But if I took sannyas, then everybody will give you respect. It'll be very, very good. You know? Once, Madhu Mangal, he was saying that wherever Krishna went, everyone was giving him so many laddus and sweets. And Madhu Mangal was thinking, what is this? He's not even a Brahmin. I'm a Brahmin. They should give me nice laddus and sweets. So he's thinking, why did they give this Kanai? Why did he give him everything and they don't give any to me? He said, I know the reason. Right? It's because that Vamsi in his peacock feather and yellow dhoti. Right? If I also have those things, and everybody give me some sweets. Madhu Mangal, he has a blackish complexion like Krishna. So he went to Krishna and he said, hey, bhai, please, can I just borrow your Vamsi and your peacock feather and your dhoti for a day? Krishna said, yes, why not? So he gave them to Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal was having a very good day that day. Wherever he was going, everyone thought it was Krishna. Hey, Krishna, come. You want some laddus? Have some makkhan? Yeah. He was very, very happy, Madhu Mangal. Meanwhile, in Mathura, Kamsa was thinking about how to get rid of Krishna. So he called for Keshi. He said, Keshi, I want you to go to Vrindavan and I want you to kill this Krishna. So Keshi said, yes, boss. He said, but one thing, what does he look like? How am I going to recognize him? He said, oh, it won't be very hard. He has a peacock feather and a flute and a yellow dhoti. Yes, boss. So Casey set out. And there he saw Madhu Mangal walking along with a big bag of laddus. He's having a very good day. So then Casey came running up to him and kicked just near him, not even, didn't even touch him. Just the wind from Casey's feet struck Madhu Mangal and threw him back. Huh? And then he got up and he started crying and he ran back to Krishna. Take these things. I don't want these things. So we're like that. Huh? We want to imitate. We want to do anukor. Yeah, what is this? All the swamis, they get all the nice sweets. And they get the mahaprasad. I should also do like that. And the Swami, if I dress up like that, they'll also give to me. Yeah. But then as soon as Maya comes and gives some little kick in front of us, then we start crying. We run back. Huh? So, tat tat karma pavartana. We should behave in a proper way, according to our adhikar, which means according, in our case, means according to whatever instruction our Gurudev has given us. And that instruction is perfect for us. We should do that thing. We should make that thing our life and soul. So Rupa Goswami, he said especially Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vas, Shimurtira Seva. These five things, especially, we should do. We should do Sadhu Sangha, we should do Nam Kirtan. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We should stay in the Holy Dham. There's different ways to live in the Holy Dham. There's some Dhambasis who are born here. There's another type of Dhambasi who moves here. There's another kind of Dhambasi who comes here once a year or once in a while, but they're always thinking of the Dham. And there's another kind of Dhambasi who may never ever come to the Dham, but they're always meditating on the Dham. And they're always trying to do service to the Dham. So that's a real Dhambasi. Our Guru Maharaj used to ask, Dhammarashtra Kabu, do you know where Kangsa was born? Kangs, do you know where he was born? You don't know where Kangsa is born? You've not read Bhagavatam?
Kangsa.
Do you know where he was born? He was born in Mathura. So if someone's born in Mathura, they're a Dhambasi, right? Yes? So Kangsa is a Dhambasi? Yes?
Yes.
Putana also, she her village, I went there a few years ago to do some research. Putana's village is not far from Mathura. So she's also born in Braj. So is Putana Dhambasi?
Externally.
Externally, huh? What do you mean externally? Why not? Why not? They're born in Braj. They had the geographical location. They're born here. So they're Dhambasis.
Dhambasis.
Yes.
Yeah.
So? We should serve all the Dhambasis. We should take the remnants of the Dhambasis. So do you eat the remnants of Putana?
No.
No, but she's a Dhambasi.
Except
she's
Yes.
She's not really a Dhambasi. And Kangsa is not really a Dhambasi. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that Krishna's energy, known as Proto-Maya, she's separating the Dham from demoniac persons like Kangsa, Putana. So they're not really living in the Dham. And are we really in the Dham? We come to the Dham. I have one friend whose father is a mayor of a small town in South America. Respected gentleman. And he came to Vrindavan. His son said, Father, you have to come to Vrindavan. It's the most sacred place in the whole world. So his father came here and he saw the sewage on the streets and he saw the condition of the Jamuna and he saw the pigs and different things and the bad smells and the smoke and this and that. And he said, my God, what are you trying to say? This is a holy place. This is not a holy place. So he couldn't see anything. So the Dham is separated from persons who can't see. Persons who are materialistic, the Dham doesn't reveal itself to them. So this is a very important principle. We should live in the Holy Dham. We should render service to the deity. That's very, very important. By rendering service to the deity, we'll develop some relationship with Krishna. We'll develop our attitude of service. So he says, Sakala sadhana shresta e pancha anga Krishna prema janmaya e panchara alpa sangha. These five limbs of devotion, these are the best of all. And even a slight performance of them, of these five, can awaken love for Krishna. So this was Srila Prabhupada's purpose. He gave us this morning program, he gave us these activities in this Krishna consciousness. We have all five of these activities every day. It's very important. So the essence of these tat-tat karma-bhavartana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he quotes a verse from Narada Pancharatra to illustrate what is the essence of these things. Loki ki vaidiki vapi ya kriya kriyate mune hari sevanu kulaiva sakarja bhaktin ichchata. The essence of everything, one should only perform activities either worldly or Vedic, that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. What is it? There's another nice verse. The essence of all instructions. What is that verse? Smartavya sapitam vishnor vismartavya najabduchit saravedi nisedhasya etayor evakinkara. Should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. This is tat tat karma pravartanat. So, after tat tat karma pravartanat comes sangha tyagat. And Prabhupada says on page 34 of his purport, ISKCON centers are meant for this purpose. Then there is little chance of worldly association. So, what does it mean? We've been hearing so much about association. Rupa Goswami emphasizes this thing again and again. But we should understand what Sangham actually means. And what it means, Sangha Tyagat. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on this, he says that Sangha Tyagat is practiced differently by different persons. He says, for the renunciates, they give up everything. But for the grihasthas, who are working, for some grihastha man who has to work a job, or maybe some lady, they have to go and they have to meet with materialistic persons. So what are they supposed to do? Maybe they're working for someone who eats meat or is an atheist. So they can't quit their job. They have to maintain their family. Maybe they should go to work and just not look at their boss. Like this. I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. You're a meat eater. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that won't work. If you do like that, that's not Sangha Tyagat. That's not giving up their association. He says, if you do like that, then all that's going to happen is you're going to lose your job. They're going to become very annoyed with you. Not only do you have to look at them, you have to talk to them. And not only do you have to talk to them, he says, but you have to have some affectionate words with them. You have to seem like you care. How was your vacation? Oh yeah, and the wife, she had a baby yet? How was your operation? How was your athlete's foot? How is your this thing? How is your that thing? There's so many things we might ask them, huh? So, Bhaktivinoda says, but we don't do that with our heart. We'll speak more about that tomorrow. We do that on a very shallow level. We don't give them our heart, but we give them some kind of affection. Devotees should do like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when acts are performed out of love, then it is association. When we do something out of love, that's real association. And that's how devotees should associate with each other. But not in a sentimental way. It doesn't mean that the brahmachari should start dancing in kirtan with the ladies. It doesn't mean that we want to be affectionate to the tiger, so we'll jump in the cage to go give him some Mahaprasad. He'll have something to eat. It may not be the Mahaprasad. We shouldn't be sentimental. Deho nata jata jata. Bhaktivinoda says that we should deal with everyone according to their position. But we should deal with everyone with love. And Vedic culture is that culture, that society, that science, which shows how we can do like that. Even a brahmachari or a sannyasi who strictly won't talk to ladies and shouldn't, that's forbidden, nor should he think of ladies. But still, they can also have some kind of affection if they see ladies as mother. If a brahmachari sees all ladies as mother and they treat him like a son, he'll be a very happy brahmachari. And he'll be very, very well protected. Because he has so many wonderful blessings. And he'll be very peaceful. As he won't see any women as prostitutes. But if on the other hand he treats, Mataji, excuse me. And they treat ladies like they're prostitutes. Or something like that. Then those ladies may become prostitutes. They either may become themselves because you're treating them like that. Or at least in your mind they become like that. And then we become so very, very agitated. And the whole society becomes disturbed. So we have to have dealings of love. That's real association. Giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items or wealth from them becomes satsanga. So that's how we associate. We exchange something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that sangha takes place in the mind. If we want to give up a satsanga, do sangha kahiye kaitava atma vanchana krishna krishna bhakti vinu anya kama. Kaviraj Goswami describes cheating yourself and cheating others is called kaitava. Associating with other people who cheat in this way is called dusanga, bad association. And persons who desire things other than Krishna service are also called dusanga, bad association. And we mentioned this yesterday. We can say it again for our own purification. Very important thing. Acharyas have described that one of the types of dusanga that we have to avoid is Kali Chelas, or false devotees, whom Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes also as Dharmadvajis. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his purports in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he quotes two verses which I think are from Harivamsa. Ado drishtir nakritika swarta sadhana tatpara sato nitya vinitascha bhaka brata paro dvija. There's one fellow, he's called Bhaka Brata. He's a very, very renounced person. He looks like a very great devotee. Just like a bhaka, just like a crane. What is the activity of a crane? He stands on one leg, like a yogi, with his back very straight. And he just stands there in the water. Ah, such a saintly person. But what is his real business? His real business is looking for fish. And as soon as some fish comes close, immediately he gets it. So the Bhaka Brata, he looks like a renunciate, a sannyasi or a brahmachari. And he's the best of the brahmacharis, the best of the sannyasis. He leads great kirtan, gives good classes, and says so many things. But his real business is to catch a lady. And he's just waiting for that thing. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that we should avoid association with persons such as that. Dharmadvaji sada lubdas Chadniko loka dhambaka Vaidala vratiko gyeo hingsa saiva visandika. He says there's some fellows called Dharmadvajis, we spoke of yesterday, who make a show out of religion. These Dharmadvajis are those persons who desire someone else's wealth. Just like sometimes a renunciate, sometimes we've heard of some brahmacharis, they're doing life membership, they're working very, very hard for the guru. Then they get some chance and they steal the money from the temple or from some life member or this thing or that thing and they run away. Once one such brahmachari, he borrowed 1,000 rupees from me in the Delhi temple. Guruji, I'll definitely pay you back. And then I became a little nervous when he didn't show up that evening. He just left the temple and ran away. So some people, they're dressed up like that because they want someone else's wealth. Another person is a duplicitous person, a person who cheats, an envious person, and a person who blasphemes. These persons are hypocritical Brahmins who follow Baidala Brati. What's a Baidala Brati? Baidala Brati means the vow of the cat. Once there was a cat, and this cat, he was terrorizing all the mice. He was always pouncing on them and eating them up. So the mice were terrified. Then one day, one of the mouses was coming out of his hole, and he saw the cat sitting there in the middle of the room, with some japa mala in his hand. He's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, what is this? He just became very curious. He went around in front very quietly, and he saw the cat had tilak on it. And he had some kunti mala. And suddenly the cat opened its eyes, and the mouse became very frightened and started to run away. The cat said, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm a sadhu now. I become a devotee. It's okay. You don't have to worry about me anymore. Really? Yes. You see? Katila, Gunti Mala, Chen Japa. Well, the mouse was very happy. So he went back to the hole and told the other mice, hey, did you hear the news? Huh? The cat became a baba. A very good thing. He's a sadhu now. All of our problems are finished. The mice were so happy. So they had a big festival. And they all came out and they were dancing and playing right in front of the cat. The cat was just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, the cat dropped his japa mala. And he jumped on those mice. And he had a big feast. So, that's called Vaidala Brati, the vow of the cat. So there's some types of persons who are like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't think it's the fault of ISKCON. Oh, ISKCON's bad. I heard this person did this thing, this person was dressed like a sadhu guru. Don't be so sentimental and silly. Don't be so childish. This is something that happens everywhere. It happens in every institution. It happens in every mutt, in the Gaudiya mutt, in ISKCON, with the Babajis, and with the Catholics. My God, the Catholics have had a hard time. With the Muslims and with everybody. Everybody has this problem. It's not a condemnation of the institution, but we have to be sincere. We have to protect ourselves. We came here for this other purpose. So Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on Upadeshamrita, he says that we have to avoid this thing. In Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says that two things should be understood about devotee association in order that Vaishnava offenses are not committed. Sri Chaitanya is giving warning in this regard. The devotee should give up the association of the pretender devotee, understanding him to be a materialist. Toward those who are sincere, the devotee should offer service and respect. When he meets a true Vaishnava, the devotee should associate with him and serve him with his heart. To the ordinary Vaishnava inclined people, he should show respect. This respect is an external service. Some persons who are, there's many people, most of the people in this society, don't be surprised, don't be shocked, don't be so foolish and sentimental and childlike that you're going to think, why, I thought everybody in this society was a pure devotee. Why would you think like that? Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in one letter to a devotee, find it. Anyway, he said that we should not expect all the members of our society to behave according to the proper standard. Because he said that we should remember that we're taking members. Here it is. I have noted your several complaints against the devotees. Someone wrote to Srila Prabhupada, like we do sometimes. Raise your hand. Has anyone here ever had a complaint about devotees in the society? One or two? I'd have to raise both my hands. So this is also going on during the time of Srila Prabhupada. And someone wrote to Prabhupada, they're doing this thing. Bad. Prabhupada wrote back. 1971. I have noted your several complaints against the devotees, but it would be better to set the example than to criticize the defects of the devotees. We should always remember that we recruit members from people in general. It's not that we're only going to, excuse me, you want to join the temple now. Were you born in a Vaishnava family? How many years have you been chanting Hare Krishna? Only 10 years? No, I'm sorry. We only accept people who have been chanting for 15 years and have been vegetarian their whole life, and that, I'm sorry, you can go somewhere else. No. We accept members, we recruit members from people in general. It's not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification. Do we really need to hear that? I guess we do. It is such an obvious thing, isn't it? We're going out and preaching to people. And the same people sometimes that we make a devotee, and they join them, we're very, very nice to them. Oh, sir, just read this book. Please, it'll change your life. Chant Hare Krishna. I'm your friend. Come to the temple. Things are very nice. And then the person joins, and we're so happy. I made a devotee. We're so happy that he came and became a devotee. And then 6 months later, we're, that stupid idiot. Why he's criticizing me? The guy's bogus. He should be thrown out of the temple. We're saying this thing and that thing. The same person, just 6 months before, we were pleading with him, being so nice to try to get to join. We should think a little bit. Prabhupada says, it's not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification. The best thing for you is to set the example by your personal behavior and try to reform the others, not by criticizing, but by friendly behavior. This is our process. Shraddha sabdi vishwas kahi sudha nitskoi. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. Sarva karma krita hoy. This will solve all the problems. Srila Prabhupada once said to the GBC, this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. That's a motto of our magazine. So this is Srila Prabhupada's instruction. This is the Hare Krishna movement. This is a solution. Not driving someone out, not doing some politics, not complaining. But we should understand in a sober way that there's going to be people who join who aren't going to come to the proper standard. It may take them some time. Even Putana might join. It happens. She came to Braj. She went to the temple commander, Mother Yashoda. And she said, hey, can I go on the altar? Do some deity service. Mother Yashoda, Rahini, looks, wow, she's a really nice devotee. Yeah, go ahead. If it happened to Mother Yashoda and Rohini, if they couldn't recognize Putana, are we supposed to be more powerful than Yashoda and Rohini? That we can recognize someone that they can't? We can't recognize who Putana is. But Mother Yashoda's mutt, her temple, is such a special place. And this is her temple, this ISKCON movement also. That she also engaged Putana in her service. Putana, when she came to Braj, what was she doing? She came to have lunch. She didn't go to MVT. She was going to the houses where all of these babies. And she was killing those babies and eating them. What a nasty thing. How do we understand that? Jiva Goswami raises this question in his commentary in 10th Canto. He says, how do we understand that Putana is killing all the Brijbasi children? She's not. Krishna protects all of them. Actually, he says, what happened was Krishna bewildered Putana. Putana thought she was doing Kamsa's work and she was fooling Krishna. But in reality, Krishna engaged her in his service. And all the children that she killed were the sons and daughters of Kamsa's followers. Putana was tricked. And so similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he's also tricked us. We think that we can trick Guru and Krishna. We think that we can come and have some other motivation. These stupid Hare Krishnas, they won't figure it out. Some people think like that. But Srila Prabhupada knows. He saw. He knew. Yes, come. No problem. And he tricked us. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was approached by the editor for the Samaj, I think, in Calcutta. That's the big newspaper. And what's his name? He's a friend of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He wrote this book, Ami and Nimai. Ami and Nimai Chari. Nice book. Anyway, he's a devotee. He came once to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, Maharaj, you're a sadhu. I appreciate that. But I've been to your temples and I've seen some of these devotees who are there, supposed to be devotees. And they're bogus. They're talking to ladies, they're just wanting to collect money, they're wanting to do this thing and that. You should kick them out. You should have a pure institution. Why do you have these persons there? And what was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's reply? He said, yes, I know. You're right. He said, but if we kick them out, where will they go? He said, how will there be any hope for them? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew, Srila Prabhupada knew, that if we keep them here in this society, that they'll become tricked, just like Puta. And they're engaged in doing collection, selling books, doing so many things. But at the same time, to be a member of the society, you have to chant 16 rounds. You have to go to Bhagavatam class. And if you do those things, it's going to work. The medicine will work. And what was Putana's final destination? She was tricked by Krishna. And she got the position of a datri, a nurse. In Krishna Lila. So, we shouldn't hate the demons even in ISKCON. But, we have to avoid them. And they're going to be there. And it's not a sentimental, critical, nasty thing to say. It's just a natural fact. Bhaktivinoda says, these Vaishnava-like people, these Vaishnava-praya, there are three types. One, those who fully accept the Vaishnava conclusions. They accept the conclusions, but they don't practice them. That's a Vaishnava-praya, Vaishnava-vas. He's not really a Vaishnava. He accepts the conclusions, but he doesn't actually follow them. The second one is, persons who take up the Vaishnava symbols and appearance, but they're not real Vaishnavas, although they have some respect for the Vaishnavas. They seem like they're practicing, they're dressing up. The first ones are not even dressing up like them. The second ones, they dress up like this, but they're not really actually Vaishnavas. And the third one is, those persons who are born in the families of great Vaishnavas, and they wear the symbols of Vaishnavas, but they're not real Vaishnavas. These are three different types of Vaishnava praya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we have to give up such association. If we don't give up such association, we won't be able to advance properly. And we read yesterday when he speaks about Dharmadvajis, he says better to associate with the gross materialists than the Dharmadvajis, because it's easy to recognize them. The Dharmadvajis, the false devotees, they're more dangerous. So when he speaks about giving up bad association, it also means this kind of thing. But why don't we do that? Why don't we give up this kind of association? We don't give it up because we like it. We're in Maya. We don't want to follow the regulative principles properly. And we feel more comfortable being around other people who aren't going to criticize us. Just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells a story of one thief who crept into the house in the middle of the night and started stealing something. And then one of the servants came and found him. Hey, chore! And the thief, then he turned to that servant and he said, hey, do you want some? You take some of this. Be quiet. Like this. So we're like that. Hey, I'm going to steal something, I'll do something bad, and if someone catches me, we'll tell them, I'll give you some also. Keep quiet, okay? We're a thief like that. We like association like that. But Rupa Goswami says, Sangha Tyaga, we have to give up this Asat Sangha. And this Asat Sangha begins in our mind, in our heart. My Guru Maharaj, he was speaking, he used to speak about this thing. He said, we may be doing association with Guru and Sadhu. But if our consciousness, if our heart, we're thinking about other things, then we're not really doing association with Guru. We're doing du-sangha. We're doing bad association. Because association begins in the heart. What would you think of someone who is trying to kill the Pandavas, who is trying to kill Krishna, who is working on behalf of Duryodhan? Would you want to associate with him? Dhammarashtrika, but would you associate with him? No. But what if I told you his name was Bhishma Dev? He's a Mahajan. He's a great devotee. So we can't judge them just by who his employer is, who his boss is, what institution he belongs to. Bhishma Dev showed that by principle that we should serve in that sangha that we have some connection with. We shouldn't go to another sangha, even if our sangha has some problems. Rather, we should try to fix that sangha. That's how Bhishma Dev's teaching is. Not that one sangha is good and one sangha is bad. Sanghas are not people. People are people. We say that we should vidyavanaya sampani bhavani gavihasani suni chaiva sapakicha pandita samadarshana. We should see everyone equally. We should see an elephant, we should see a dog, we should see a dog eater. If that person's in another institution, he's bogus. But ISKCON devotees are, no. We should also see everyone like that. And anyone who's a Vaishnava, we should respect. But this is my Gurudev's Sangha. So I'm faithful to this Sangha, even if there's problems in it. There is big problems in the Sangha the Bhishma Dev belonged to. There were very big problems. But he stuck with that Sangha. That was his service. Right? So we'll stop here for a few minutes. We can get up and stretch our legs and come back in some 5-10 minutes.